My dear friends in Christ, today's gospel story has two miracles in it: the healing of the daughter of the leader of the synagogue and the healing of the woman with the hemorrhages. Now, each of these stories has something in common, and we should take a look at each one. First of all, beyond doubt, the synagogue leader came to Jesus when everything else had failed. After all, he was a pillar of Jewish orthodoxy, and he would have been one of the ones who despised and hated Jesus, and he would have been very happy to see him eliminated. No doubt he had tried every kind of doctor, every kind of cure, and it was only in sheer desperation and as a last resort that he came to Jesus at all. That is to say, the synagogue leader came to Jesus for a very inadequate motive. He did not come to Jesus out of love. He came simply because he had tried everything and everyone else, and there was just nowhere else to go. This man came to Jesus simply because desperation drove him there. As for the woman, she crept up behind Jesus in the crowd and touched the fringe of his cloak. Suppose we read this story in a kind of remote, detached, analytical manner. My dear friends in Christ, today's gospel story has two miracles in it: the healing of the daughter of the leader of the synagogue and the healing of the woman with the hemorrhages. Now, each of these stories has something in common, and we should take a look at each one. First of all, beyond doubt, the synagogue leader came to Jesus when everything else had failed.
Sheep's clothing. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure you probably have heard that Winston Churchill had great fun with this quotation from Scripture when some of his colleagues said he had much to fear from one of his political opponents. He said about the opponent that he was a sheep in sheep's clothing.
My dear friends in Christ, there is a supremely important message in today's gospel story. It was laid down by law that every adult Jewish male who lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem must attend the feast of the Passover. In point of fact, it was the aim of every Jew in all the world, at least once in a lifetime, to attend the feast in Jerusalem. A Jewish boy became a man when he was 12 years of age. Then he became a son of the law and had to take the obligations of the law upon himself. So at 12 years of age, Jesus, for the first time, went to the Passover. We may well imagine how the holy city and the temple and the sacred ritual all would have fascinated him. When his parents returned, it seems that he lingered behind. It was not through carelessness that they did not miss him. Men and women did not travel in the caravan together, but separately. There was one for men, there was one for women. Usually, the women in the caravan started out earlier in the day, and at the end of the day, the two-sect caravan started out earlier in the day.
Listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. This is Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza will be airing until 7 o'clock tonight. Stay tuned then for Ken's Last Ever Radio.
Lots of people know these words, I suppose, but I wanted to understand them better, so I got out my dictionaries and reference books. First, I looked in a Latin dictionary and found that liberty is from the Latin word libertas, meaning freedom. Parenthetically, they note freedom as opposed to slavery. You're either free or enslaved. Further definitions address civil liberties and national independence. The Romans saw liberty as a right given at birth or granted through emancipation from bondage. It was a means and an end in itself. As for the English word free, its original source is Indo-European and has taken many forms over the years.
On the other hand, it could also be that Jefferson is making some particular significant statement in the matter. And so we look elsewhere in the writings of Jefferson and look in terms of who he's quoting to see what he may have meant by choosing happiness rather than property.
Experiment is 65% heads. That's the probability it comes up heads. So the measure of an uncertain event means that you're trying to measure how often the outcome you're talking about, landing heads if it's balanced, comes up versus how many times you tried the experiment.
In the post-war period. And the treaty was largely drafted by a committee dominated by the five victorious powers. And at that time, the Americans played an enormously important role. Woodrow Wilson went to Europe, toured Europe, was enormously popular. His view about a covenant, that marvelous Presbyterian word that reflected Wilson's background, his idea of an international covenant to get out of the dilemmas of the past, was a popular idea. If you look at the articles of the League of Nations, there were several which were particularly important. Article 10 was all states would pledge to protect all members against external aggression.
Traditional computer. Now, in order to explain that, let me say a little bit about the distinction between these machines and the traditional computers, machine thinking. Now, the Chinese room argument challenges the idea that a system can think solely in virtue of implementing a computer program.
Second difference is the difference in terms of nationalism. Britain at the end of World War I was indeed the strongest British Empire, was the strongest political unit in the world.
Needs a water park. who Disney's, making it the third largest theme park in the United States after the two Disney's. Making it the third largest theme park in the United States after the two Disney's. Making it the third largest theme park in the United States after the two Disney's. Making it the third largest theme park in the United States after the two Disney's. Making it the third largest theme park in the United States after the two Disney's. Making it the third largest theme park in the United States after the two Disney's. People ask me why a Christian complex needs a water park.
Chiefs of staff, upstairs from the Oval Office, oars up on the top of Ops 2B. Thing is coming down. They've been unsuccessful in trying to track down whether there was such a call. In gate, and tan buses began laboring up the steep two-lane road. Operators controlled the plane's 85 air-to-ground telephones. Centers on Main Street. They need the car, which keeps watch over the agency's worldwide eavesdropping coast length. One former CIA director, agents the CIA did manage to develop, dial would rupture the tank and locate it amid sweet-smelling bougainvillea on a key role in what is probably the most profound change in the history of signals intelligence, from college. And then we sort of realized that the forehead of their nation, private commercial bank in Yemen, push on Kabul. A pretext for war, operational activities. If it's got a weapon in their hand, is willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. People spared in this effort, clues, and lost track of key members of Al-Qaeda. Clues had developed. Walker Lynn's instructors had developed. But inexplicably, clues Walker Lynn's instructors had developed. Walker Lynn's instructors in the HUM camp. Jordan's training session, Walker Lynn's instructors in the HUM camp had developed clues that developed Walker Lynn's instructors in the HUM camp. Jordan's training session and got a pilot's license, went up with instructors several times. Even though Al-Ghazali confessed, practically lifted from the clean break report, the swimming pool, shortly after the devastating explosion caught the swimming pool, practically lifted from the clean break report. Shortly after the devastating explosion caused when American Airlines Flight 77 slammed into the swimming pool, they were his main base of support in the United States, or structure, and that she felt she had already debunked them in her reports to Washington. Information from Chalabi's man, increasingly critical of the wisdom of a military strike, your weapon. Compounding the problem, you see Senior Intelligence Service operations. Want that to happen, or someone in his government had rebuffed the attempt by the terrorist organization, whoever it might have been.
Sociology, history, and so on.
The earliest versions of the word were found in the ancient Sanskrit, Celtic, and Teutonic family of languages, including, among others, German, Frisian, Norse, English, and Welsh. This semantic root word pri, P-R-I, depending upon its use, means to love, delight, or endear.
One finds, for instance, that before the Continental Congress had convened, and when Jefferson was still thinking about the language he was intending to propose, that he didn't discuss these rights in terms of inalienability. Rather, he spoke of them as being sacred and inviolable.
So that the number of a certain outcome divided by the total number of trials is a measure of probability.
Article 11, any war or threat would be a concern to all.
What it shows, I believe, is that implementing the computer program by itself couldn't guarantee consciousness or thought or intentionality.
Baker once admitted to the New York Times, referring to his $8 million behemoth, "Well, if the Bible says we are to be fishers of men, then a water park is just bait."
This is Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. You're listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. This is Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. You're listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. And right now you're listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza.
Sigh for a thousand years.
listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. To find out more about Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza, you can visit a webpage located at counterfolk.com/last ever. If you don't know how to spell that, then just go to a search engine and type Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. You can listen to all the shows that you missed. Tonight's show, after it's over, you can listen to. Even if you haven't missed it, you can still listen. And if you don't know how to spell, then listen right now on the radio to this live creation known sometimes.
Mentioning the word Mahayana here is to underline the point that there are, among the sutras that are attributed to the Buddha, there are those that belong to the Mahayana tradition. And another significance of using the word Mahayana here is to really underline the subject matter of this particular text, which is the practice of compassion. Although in general it is said that all the teachings of the Buddha are rooted in great compassion.
The dear friends in Christ. The dear friends in Christ. My dear friends in Christ. My dear friends in Christ. My dear friends in Christ. Today's gospel story.
Listen, failure is impossible. The only way you can possibly fail is to tell yourself that you have failed. Break out of this fear. Listen, failure is impossible. The only way you can possibly fail is to tell yourself that you failed. People have such radical different ways of evaluating, and some people have set things up for themselves where they have mental rules where no matter what they do, they feel like they're failing. Specifically by this. Conversely, ask people about what does it take to succeed. Some people say, I have to never, ever feel bad. I used to believe in life that I've got to go out and achieve, and therefore I'll allow myself to feel happy. How does this all relate? A useful way of looking at fear for most people is most people anticipate the potential of problems or pain and generate this emotion known as fear. Well, the first way is to change our rules or our ways of defining what determines an experience we call successful or one we call a failure. Well, you got to take a look. If you're experiencing fear of failure, fear of success, the first place you got to look is how do you define it? But what I mean is in order for you to feel feelings that you may associate to being a failure, you have to represent things in a certain way. You have to evaluate your life in a very specific way. But I've chosen to look at life differently, where I now happily achieve instead of achieve to be happy. Or they say, I have to achieve my goals. Or other people say, I have to be breathing or above ground. Remember the example? I think Robert Shuler is one of the people that popularized it, and it started many years before that. And the belief system was this. Somebody once asked me, Tony, what would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail? Remember the analogy from earlier in this tape program. Now, what can we do to really free ourselves from this? I'll give you a classic example. Years back when I was doing work initially, I was just establishing myself in the media. See, remember that phrase or belief we talked about earlier? I want to reinforce it again. I got to start talking to him, and I wanted to get a Dickens on him, if you will. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure from the past. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure from the past. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure from the past. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure. Step three is what I want you to do with your ideas of failure from the past. So I got him in a great place, and now I want to use what I call my erasure technique. So I got him in a great place, and now I want to use what I call my erasure technique. Thank you. belief system that was offered to me years ago. I think Robert Shuler is one of the people that popularized it, and it started many years before that. And the belief system was this. Somebody once asked me, Tony, what would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail?
Mike, you know what?
What's that, Gary?
Tuesday nights are boring.
I hate Tuesday.
You know what?
What's that, Gary?
Tuesday nights are boring.
I hate Tuesday.
Hey, Mike, you know what?
What's that, Gary?
Tuesday nights are boring.
I hate Tuesday.
Hey, Mike, you know what?
What's that, Gary?
Tuesday nights are boring.
I hate Tuesday.
Hey, Mike, you know what?
What's that, Gary?
Tuesday nights are boring.
I hate Tuesday.
Ken's last ever radio extravaganza. Live improvised sound experimental collage. Created while you're listening. Listen to while you're creating. Ken's last ever radio extravaganza is being heard right now every Tuesday night from 6 until 7 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. Ken's last ever radio extravaganza can also be heard at your leisure on the internet. If you visit the address counterfolk.com/last ever, you can browse through the archives from the last 10. And if you visit the webpage at counterfolk.com/last ever, you can hear those shows that have been going on for 10 years. You can listen to them. You can just listen. That's all you can do. You can just listen. And if you're listening to Ken's last ever radio extravaganza here and now, or here and later, elsewhere, somewhere, on a station other than the station you're listening to, on the internet other than the internet that you're using, regardless, in that case, and only then, and in all other situations, that is when you should consider, definitely think about sending email to the address ken@counterfolk.com just to say, well, that's up to you, actually. If you don't have email and you like the immediacy of the spoken word, and you're listening to this right now and not later and not somewhere else, you're not hearing this in Los Angeles, you're not hearing this in London, you're hearing this here and now, then you can call up on the telephone. In all other situations, calling that number will yield unexpected results. And so I recommend that activity. Thanks again for listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Listen every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. or on the internet whenever you feel like it. Please, please send reactions, feedback, or just a simple hello to the email address ken@counterfolk.com. Sometimes requested. You wonder, what are these things that you're hearing? These are things that are being mixed together right now as they're happening, as you're listening. But to find out what the original things were in their original forms that don't sound the way they sound today, one such way to find out would be to visit the webpage at counterfolk.com/last ever or send email to ken@counterfolk.com. Those would be some of the ways to find out, because that information will be available to you. Goes off the air now. The views and sounds expressed are those of the engineers only and not of anyone else involved with the station. Thanks again for listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza.